Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the secret of joy and the numbers to call. If you want to get some coaching on having what you want in any area of your life, or 866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And just, as always, I like to set the table a little bit. So I want to just share a model. Now, so some of you are familiar with my book, Supercoach, or have heard me talk, may be familiar with this model, but I think it's a really useful one. And it's just understanding where joy really comes from. And people often live as though their experience of life takes place on a continuum ranging from misery to joy. And it's like misery's on the left and joy's on the right, and you're somewhere in the middle trying to get more joy and less misery. And the game of life then becomes about figuring out, well, okay, how can I spend more time at the joyful end of the continuum and less time at the miserable end? And the first place that most of us go to get more joy in our life, greater happiness, we try and get the right stuff. So if we have plenty of money and a good job and a great relationship and a nice home, then we're going to have joy. But at some point we look around and we notice, well, there are lots of people who have those things. I've even had those things and I was still pretty miserable and they seem pretty miserable. So at some point we look more deeply and we get, oh, it's not our stuff. It's our actions that make us happy or unhappy. If we do the right thing, we'll feel good about ourselves. We'll experience more joy. If we do the wrong things or less of the good things, our conscience will haunt us, and we won't really experience the joy. Now, there's a problem with that, because you might have noticed that sometimes good things happen to bad people. In fact, it happens so often that there's a best-selling book called that. And bad things happen to good people. And although, you know, it sounds like, well, doing the right thing should be its own reward, life feels pretty unfair when you're doing all the right things, but you're not experiencing the rewards. You're not experiencing the joy. And when people start looking deeper in this way, that takes them into the sort of personal development world, the self-help world. And they start to see that, well, okay, it's not what happens. It's what I think about what happens that determines my experience. So I begin experimenting with things like affirmations and positive thinking and positive vibration, because if I could just control the flow of thoughts through my brain, I would have the key. I would have the secret to lifelong joy. Now, there's a problem with this, which is nobody I know can do it. And I'm not saying people can't do it for periods of time or that you can't move in that direction. But what happens is, because we think we're supposed to be able to think only positive thoughts, to only hold in our mind what we want, we attribute our inability to think that to a lack of skill or a lack of discipline, or only if I tried harder, if I was a better person, I knew I should have paid more attention in school, it's my fault. The reality is, the theory itself is flawed. Nobody can control which thoughts come into their heads. Where you've got some choice is which thoughts you invest your energy into. So in other words, thoughts are going to happen, but you get to control which thoughts matter to you. I often say the most important choice you make is what you choose to make important. And when you really stop to think about it, you realize you can only choose which thoughts to dwell on and make important, not which ones pop into your own head. And this can be a real sticking point. Maybe it is for you. Maybe you're one of those people who kind of goes, well, okay, hang on. So if my joy and my experience of joy isn't going to come from what I have or don't have, and it's not going to come from what I do or don't do, and I can't really choose what thoughts come into my head, aren't I kind of screwed? You know, that seems to be a fair conclusion. And some people actually go there. They go, okay, well, joy isn't up to me. It's outside of my control. I can't choose happiness. I'm not even going to try. And what's weird is they start to feel better when they stop trying so hard. And that can lead people to another false conclusion, which is, well, we can only pursue happiness indirectly. So I'm just going to do these things and happiness will hopefully come in as an uninvited guest. But here's the problem with all of these theories, is that they're all based on the idea that happiness is a thing, something that we can have or not have, pursue directly, pursue indirectly, get successfully, if we're not careful, lose. But happiness, or let's say joy, or we could call it well-being, that's what I call it a lot, Joy is not a thing. You can't put it in a wheelbarrow. Now, what some people do is they go spiritual at this point. So they go beyond the personal development, beyond the affirmation, and they try to go to a more spiritual direction. And they go, well, okay, I can't control which thoughts come into my head. So what I just need to do is stop thinking altogether. And so I'm going to take up meditation, and I'm going to take up chanting, and I'm going to take up practices, routines, prayers, disciplines that are designed to stop my thinking or at least slow my thinking. And again, they seem to work because I start to feel more peace. I start to feel more well-being. I start to feel more joy. And it starts to seem like, well, gosh, okay, that's what I just need to do. I just need to meditate more. I just need to do these practices more. I just need to be more disciplined. But the problem with all of that is that it takes practice and it takes discipline. And while that might seem, well, fair enough, I mean, you know, got to work hard to get such a great reward, most people just aren't willing or able or clear on how they're going to put 20 years of daily meditation in for 20 minutes of daily bliss and joy. So here's the thing. What if we change the fundamental premise? And this is, in a way, the secret of joy. By the way, we're going to go to the phones in a minute. Lines are actually lighting up already, but if you want to get in, numbers to call 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. Outside the United States, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. All of those ideas, well, it's the right stuff, it's the right actions, it's the right thoughts, oh, it's no thought, they're all based on the idea that misery and joy are outside us, and we need to do things in order to avoid the misery and get the joy. But let's sort of stand this all on our head, just to kick the tires on this idea with me. What if well-being, joy, was your nature? And the only thing that ever took you away from it, so if I was drawing this, when I draw this on the page, I put a smiley face at the bottom and an arrow going right up from your crown chakra, right up from the top of your head towards misery. And what that arrow is made up of is miserable thoughts. So if you've ever looked into a baby's eyes, and if you haven't, ask the parents permission first. They really like that. But look into a baby's eyes and you'll see peace. You'll see bliss. You'll see joy. You'll see something that's in tune with the infinite, that's in touch with its well-being, that still is of the wave. It isn't yet of the wave. It's still of the ocean. It's still part of the whole. Hasn't separated out yet. And what I'm going to explain in the second half of the show is how it is that we move away from that innate joy, that natural joy, and how it is that we can move back to it. But for now, let's go to the phones, and let's begin today in Brooklyn with Jamil. Jamil, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I talked to you a couple of times before, and again, it's just wonderful just to get on the show. I love all your work. I have to say that what you just said already was really helpful about, you see, for me, I guess I was calling because I felt a little faithless, that I didn't feel like I was doing what you just said, which is I was doing the mental work, and I did everything you just said. I went from affirmations to Buddhism, which is sort of trying to zone out, and then I felt like faithless. Like I said, I'm not doing it right. I'm having all this pain. I'm attracting it to myself. And when you just said, whatever thought you focus on is, you know, pretty much how you feel. All I could think of is right away how it was when I was younger. I don't care if my family was yelling at me. In that moment, I could switch over to whatever gift or present I was going to get. And I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. So I think that's pretty much, I was just saying I feel faithless. And the topic of the show is how to find your joy. And I guess that's what I wanted to do because, yeah.
Well, and I love the simplicity of what you've seen there, Jamil, because it is that simple. You already know how to do it because it's already who you are. You know, I sometimes use the analogy of, we've got this, one of those Pilates balls that you're supposed to use for exercise, but we just use it in the pool. And the kids have discovered that, like, if you try and ride it, like you try and get on top of it and push it underwater, you can, it's like riding a bull because 7 seconds is the maximum that anyone's got to yet before they get flipped off it. Because it just, it's designed to come back up to the surface, no matter how much pressure you put on it. Well, most people think that their essential nature is some sort of dark, miserable place that if they're not continually vigilant, that's what's going to pop back up to the surface. And their whole life is spent trying to like sit on top of the Pilates ball and keep it down for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting and it keeps popping back up.
Yeah.
What?
Like, I think for me, every train I miss, because in New York City, every train I miss, every thing that went wrong, every crowded supermarket, I'm thinking it's a manifestation of me not doing the work.
Absolutely. Right. It's all our fault. And if only we were better. But here's the thing. It is the exact opposite. That ball that wants to come up all the time is your joy. It's your well-being. That's your nature. And what happens is we keep pushing it down by trying to make it into this thing outside us that we have to attain, that we have to be worthy of, that we have to earn, that we have to deserve, that we have to attain, that we have to achieve. Joy is a terrible goal because you already have it.
Uh-huh.
And when you make it into a goal, when you make it into something outside of yourself, that's how you try and push that ball down. Now, it doesn't matter because you're still going to fail. Your joy will still pop up. But some of us get so good at pushing it down with our thinking that it starts to seem like when it pops up, well, it must be because of what's happened. Oh, well, yeah, I do feel really good today, but that's a fluke. That's because of this or that's because of that. We explain it away. So if we feel bad, that's our fault. But if we feel good, that's just random chance.
Yeah, because, I guess I was calling because I heard your show before about cravings and things like that. And that would be the key issue of how to use this principle that you were talking about. I want to sort of use this not to be just sort of that. Every time I listen to you, it's like, oh, my God. Like, my mother was in a stroke, had a stroke. You tell me, go to the hospital, think of a good memory. It worked. It worked, and we haven't had these issues. So every little area of my life that I've called, I feel like those areas are fixed already. You know, it's been a big mess with things. But when you direct me in that way of how to focus on it in the way that you do it, it worked. And I don't go revisit it and have the problem. I think that now the problem is I have pain, and it manifests in acid reflux. I can't walk around as much as I want. And when I get anxiety, I eat bad food, and then it causes a lot of pain. And that's where I'm at. I'm sort of home-ridden a little bit. I'm young. I'm a young man. I'm 28 years old, but I have anxiety. I'm not working. And I was actually going to call today and say, I know he's a good coach when it comes to finances, but maybe not finances is something I shouldn't even worry about right now. I should just sort of worry about how, like you said, to get back to well-being and stop these cravings for bad food that causes the pain. And that's where I'm at right now. It's just, so, I want to cook you, but I know it's bad for me.
Can we play with that just a little bit, Jamil?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So here's the thing. As long as you see food, whatever the food is, as relief from suffering, as a reward for whatever you've had to go through and had to deal with. And I get you've had to deal with a lot. Okay. I understand that. But as long as you see food that way, to try and not eat it seems the most anti-Jamil thing you could do. Like, how could I deny myself that? How could I, of all the things I put up with, and I'm going to deny myself a cookie? Oh, come on. Why am I? And I bet you have those conversations from time to time in your head, right?
Okay. I do.
Here's the thing. The minute you see the connection, and honestly, it isn't really the cookie that's doing it to you. It's your own thinking that's doing it to you. And the minute you see that, and the minute you start to let that go even a little bit, your natural health, your natural joy is going to pop back up like when that ball pops out of the water when the kids fall off it. And from that place, that in Buddhism, you mentioned Buddhism, sometimes they'll call that healing bliss.
Uh-huh.
When you just rest in that good feeling, that's all you need to do. It will clean your system out for you. It will do the healing.
Oh, boy. I believe you. I do. I guess I do. I believe you totally. Everything you just said, I know that a lot of it is just sort of masking a lot of anxiety, a lot of resentment, a lot of all the stuff that, and I just sort of shut it down. And like you said, I had a hard day. I came back, I had a bowl of cereal, and I know it wasn't the thing to do. But to focus on the joy inside, I guess I need to figure out how to do that more.
Here's the thing, Jamil. You don't actually need to figure out how to do that more. You just need to keep looking in that direction because we tend to see what we're looking for. And if you start looking for those places in your life where your joy comes through anyways, where you just drop into that feeling. You look back on things like you shared with me earlier where, huh, even though stuff was going on, my joy, my well-being still was just right there. The more you look, the more you'll see. And the more you see, the easier it will be to sort out the details of when to eat what and all that. You don't need somebody to tell you that. When you're in that place, you'll know. So will you do that? Will you look in that direction?
Yes.
That's all I can ask, and that's enough. And again, as always, you're always welcome to call back in. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Jamil, take care. Okay. And you know, these things aren't unique to Jamil, right? We all do them in our heads, but we can't do what we can't see. If we don't see that it's our own thinking that's making us miserable, and if we don't see that it's our natural health and joy that these deeper feelings, these wonderful feelings that we have from time to time are coming from, well, of course we do all this other stuff because that's what we see it needs to be done. The second we see it differently, we'll do it differently. Let's go to Detroit. Let's talk to Sue. Sue, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I wanted to ask you about joy, and it seems like it's so fleeting. Even though I try to create more of it, it just seems like I naturally default to being annoyed or, you know, kind of sad. And I'm trying to find ways to create more of a lasting feeling of joy throughout the day.
Okay, great. Let's go right to it. So there's two things that I want to pick up from what you said.
Okay.
And the first is you seem to naturally default. And I'm going to say you don't naturally default, you habitually default.
Yes.
So there's a difference between natural and normal. natural is what, if there's no noise in the system, it's what would happen. And if there's no noise in the system, we live in bliss. We live in joy.
Okay.
That's natural. We may habitually go to our thinking, go to our insecure thoughts, go to our worry thoughts, go to our troubled thoughts, and obsess about them and ruminate on them and chew on them like a cow chewing on its cud. But that's not natural. That's learned behavior. And the minute we stop doing that, even if we only stop doing it for a moment, we get this little lift of joy. And then we go, oh, but it's so fleeting. But actually what happened is we fled. we fled. It's not that it's fleeting. It's that every time we see it, we run back into the thinking.
Okay.
So here's the other thing that is going to make a huge difference to you, Sue.
Okay.
You don't have to create joy. Joy is your nature. To try and spend your energy and time creating joy is like trying to spend your energy and time creating a nose. You've already got one. It's a waste of time, and it annoys the pig, just to mix metaphors. I don't know if you know that one. And that's the thing. I had a client once. He was a wonderful, wonderful man, and he loved this idea of innate joy, of innate well-being. And he said, I don't actually have it. He said, I know I'm not made that way, but I can see that some people are. And I think that's a wonderful thing for you to share with them. And I, you know, inside, I'm just kind of going, oh boy. Okay. Yeah. You're the exception, mate, but let's keep talking. And it was about 3.5 months in, and he was all, well, yeah, no, it's been another rough week. I ate the wrong foods. I spent too much time watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh, and then one day he called up, and we were talking, and he said, I had a really weird experience this morning. I said, what's that? He said, I woke up, he said, and I felt a feeling of such wonderful lightness and peace. I wasn't even sure if I was maybe still dreaming or something, but he said, I just stayed in that for hours. All these thoughts came to me while I was in that state about things that I've been talking about with you and problems that I've been having. And I realized that I normally only feel this way like in the minute and a half after sex. He said, but I realized that when I was younger, I felt this way all the time. Mm. And he was really contemplative, and he said very sweetly, he said, could this be my well-being? Could this be joy? And that's the thing, is we're so out of touch with it that we don't even recognize it when it comes.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna just offer this to you in this form. For the next week, stop trying to create joy.
Okay.
And just allow yourself to see when joy comes, and as best you can, enjoy it while it's there. And that simple shift from trying to create it to simply seeing it is going to make all the difference in the world. Because what's going to happen is what once seemed fleeting, because you didn't realize it was you turning your back on it, not it turning its back on you, will start to simply be present more and more of the time. Are you willing to just play with that for a week?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
That's all you need to do?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sue.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And, you know, I could say that to anyone. Now, again, some people will try and turn that into a technique. Okay, so the technique, hang on, I'm taking notes. I'll listen to this in playback. So he said, step one, stop doing stuff. Okay, well, I won't really do that, but I'll pretend to do that. And step two, enjoy myself. Okay, how do I do that? Maybe I need to call him next week and ask him, how do I enjoy? All right, it's not a technique. The more you see that you already have joy, that you already have a nose, that you don't need to create it, you don't need to go out and find it, you don't need to do stuff to get it, the more you'll see its ever presence in your life, and the more joyful your life will be. Let's go to Buffalo. Let's go to Karen. Karen, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Karen. Hi, yes, hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I happen to be a very positive, uplifting person. I happen to be a healer, like an intuitive healer. One thing is I'm going through a divorce. And it just seems, even though I'm losing my home, credit cards, you know, whatever, I always look to do things to make me happy and joy with it. I'm also a Qigong teacher and healer. So I know that you find joy within. I believe in all that. But somehow, sometimes it comes across like you're in denial of what is actually happening around you. You know, like things keep on getting thrown at me, but I'll always say, oh, well, it's a new chapter of my life. I'm starting over, blah, blah, blah. New boyfriend, new whatever. So that's the only thing there's a conflict with.
So, great. Can we address that?
Sure.
Okay, and just to let you know, we're coming up, we're going to hit a break in the middle of this conversation, so will you be able to stay with me through the break?
Yes, I will.
Okay, so great. So let me go ahead and start. What I want you to notice, and you might not have even heard yourself say it, is in the almost the same breath as you said, oh, yeah, I really believe that it's inside me. You said, I'm always looking to do things to stay happy. Now, if it was really...
Well, I'm always trying to please other people. It's my thing.
Right. So if it was really already there... Like, you know, I don't need a Qigong practice to have ears. I might love my Qigong practice. I'm not saying don't do it. But it doesn't serve the purpose of putting me in touch with my ears.
Okay.
It helps me gather energy.
Right.
I might have a positive frame of mind and be able to look at things through perspectacles, positive perspectacles, you know, where I can make myself see positive things, and that might be lovely. That might be give me a great experience, but I don't need to do that to have ears, to have joy. I have joy. Now, here's the thing about denial. Denial is nothing to do with whether you're positive or negative. Denial is to do with whether you're ignoring the actual things that there are to deal with in your life. Whether you deal with them positively or negatively, that's a whole separate question. So the question that I'd like to give you to think about over the break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about is there anything in your life that you're actually, that you at some level know needs to be done or taken care of that you are not doing or taking care of? And I want you to sit with that question over the break. And that's where we're going to start when we get back. Because what we're separating out now is joy from handling your life. Because you can handle your life with joy or you can handle it with misery. Or you can not handle it and feel joy, or you can not handle it and feel miserable. And I'm going to opt for let's work on handling it and let's work on the joy. So stay on the line, Karen. We're going to be back with more of your calls, and we're going to be back with some more thoughts about why it is that we move away from that innate joy that we're born with. So we'll be right back after this break. Bye-bye for now.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about the secrets of joy. And later in this half, I'm going to talk about how it is that we move away from that innate joy that we feel as babies. But for now, we're talking about Karen. Well, we're not talking about Karen. We're talking to Karen. So Karen, welcome back.
Hi.
And so when you looked at over the break, is there anything that you know to do that you aren't doing or know to face that you're not facing, regardless of whether you face it positively or negatively, do it positively or negatively? What came up for you?
Well, I am facing the fact I don't want to use the word block. I always try to use good words and all that. But, I had a hard time not being able to pack up my stuff, losing what, you know, I have. And in fact, a few days, all of a sudden I sold stuff and it's getting me motivated. Okay, I'm getting rid of stuff. I'm packing up. The move in the right direction, I know, new chapter and all that. I know that I got to look at it more of a positive than, you know what, oh my God, all this overwhelming, I guess, is the word, is what I'm saying.
So what I want to just separate out again, Karen, and this is the key to it, and it's okay, what you're doing is fine, but what you keep telling me about is how you're trying to see what's happening in your life. Like you're trying to see it from a positive place and see what good can come from it. And what I'm saying is that that's very different to A, connecting to your authentic joy, which is nothing to do with what happens outside you. You could feel it in the midst of hell. You can feel it in the midst of heaven. It's just inside you. But also, are you taking care of the things that need to be taken care of? So what I mean by that is, you know, if there's a train ticket that needs to be bought, has it been bought? If there's a bill that needs to be paid, is it being paid? If there's a conversation that needs to be had, is it being had?
Yes, I think I'm doing the best I can with that.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not falling behind in anything. I'm usually very, I have to do this. I have my list, my to-do list, and I get it done as best as I can.
Okay, so here's the thing. I remember once when I was, I was probably about 20 and I was really trying to be positive and be the kind of person that I wanted to be and be this great person and do everything and fake it till I make it. And I would wear a suit to work and I had my hair right. And I had one of those rebounders, you know, that were really big in the 80s, you know, where like the mini trampolines. And I'd have fresh fruit and juice in the morning and, you know, turkey and carrots and water-rich salads. And I just got into this thing of, okay, I'm going to be the kind of person who kind of a place. And I did this for 21 days because that was what I'd been told you were supposed to do. And I remember I was working in a New Age bookshop in London and this guy, he was a model named Tarek, and he came into the shop and he looked at me, you know, looking exactly like what I thought all that healthy living was going to make me into. And he said, wow, dude, you need to start taking better care of yourself. You look like hell.
Okay.
And I remember just being crushed because I realized I didn't like suits. I didn't like turkey. I didn't like, you know, any of the things that I was doing. And something really interesting happened. I gave up trying to be positive. I gave up trying to be Tony Robbins and Albert Schweitzer and Robert Redford and I went out for beer and pizza and I just went to heck with this. I'm not playing anymore. Now here's what happened that was completely unexpected. Once I let go of trying so hard to be positive, my joy came right up to the surface and I felt better than I had felt in months because suddenly I stopped trying so hard to be a certain kind of person or to be a certain way. And I just allowed up what was already inside me, which is actually beautiful.
Okay.
So what I would say is if you're taking care of what needs to be taken care of, and it sounds like you are, I'd let go. This is me, right? But you phoned me.
Okay.
So you don't have to do this, but this is what I would say. Let go of trying so hard to be positive. Let yourself be pissed off if you're pissed off.
Okay.
And watch how through the cracks in that I'm a positive person, I'm a positive person, I'm a positive person, and trying to hang on to that, when you let go of that, watch how the joy just comes right up to the surface.
Okay.
And if it doesn't, right, and if it turns out that I'm just a guy with a nice voice on the radio, doesn't know what he's talking about, well, then go back to doing it the other way.
Okay, no, I'll give it a shot.
All right, Karen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your advice.
Okay. You know, it seems so counterintuitive. We try so hard to be good people. We want so hard to be positive. We're supposed to be positive, 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 positive people. I'm a positive person. I am a positive person. I am a positive person. I am a positive person. Look, sometimes you probably are. Sometimes you're probably not. But regardless of whether you're seeing things positively or negatively in this moment, your joy is always there in the background. It never goes anywhere. The sun doesn't go away when clouds come out. Might be harder to feel, might be harder to see. It doesn't go anywhere. Your joy never leaves you. It is always present. Let's go to Hillary in Colorado. Hillary, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding. What can I do for you today?
Oh, Michael, I just love you. I just think you're fabulous and funny, and I'm so glad to talk to you. And I'm listening here, relating to everybody. You know, I mean, I too spent my life, I'm 46, I've spent my life in the spiritual realm. It's like, okay, I can get this, I can do this. And, you know, I do subscribe to the law of attraction. I do know that we create it all. And so, you know, joy should be so simple. You know, I'm listening to the opening of your show, and I was originally going to talk about relationship, a relationship which we'll get to if we can, because I love that you're entering that realm. I think you're amazing with your coaching on all these levels. But, you know, we are making it complicated. I'm making it complicated. But, Michael, I know we attract it all. And like the first caller, the sweet man, you know, I beat the shit out of myself for attracting and creating what I am. And that right there levels my joy. But the biggest thing in my life, it seems, and maybe a few other women out there can relate to this, you know, the relationships, the nurturing that we're doing, the caregiving, the love that, well, I hate to admit that I seek sometimes, you know, that can get me sideways and kick me out of my joy faster than anything. And it's just baffling. And yet I know you're making it sound so simple. So what to do here?
So Teresa? No, Hillary. I'm sorry, Hillary. Hillary, I'm looking at the wrong screen here.
Hillary.
Hillary in Colorado. Yeah. Why would you ever feel bad about being human? And I don't really want. I'm. That's a rhetorical question. But here's the thing, right? When I'm talking about joy, I'm talking about being, your nature. But we aren't just beings, we're human beings. And humans get mucked up from time to time. We get caught up in our thinking. We get confused. We get a little bit lost. We do our best. And we are not just human, but we are not just being. We're human beings. And if you can accept that, life gets a lot easier. And you get to be grateful for your joy. But you get to be graceful with your misery. And when it stops being about trying to only have joy and never have misery, trying to only be positive and never be negative, trying to only be good and never be bad, then we get to just be. And the nature of our just being is joy. And the reason it sounds simple is because it is. And the reason it feels complicated is because we are brilliant at complicating it.
Okay, so per the law of attraction, you know, like attracts like, and we've got the momentum of these thoughts going. So in order to buck that current, so to speak, we do have to choose other thoughts, no matter, as you're saying, what is happening in our lives, divorce, loss of everything, whatever it is. In my case, I'm in a tricky relationship.
So here, it's just the level, what you're saying is right, but it's the level that you're looking at it from. Because you're looking at it as though you need to go in and do something. like, I need to go in and control the thoughts and change the thoughts from this to this in order to create the change. Thought, if I'm in my joy, if I'm in my being, and a negative thought comes in, it bounces right off. It just comes in and goes back out. It doesn't stay. It doesn't hang out. If I'm caught up in misery, that thought sticks, and then the next thought sticks, and it's like a magnet. So it's not that I have to sort through all this thinking. It will naturally sort. The more time I spend in my being, the more time I spend in my joy, the more time I spend in my health, the more naturally the positive stuff will stick and the negative stuff will bounce away. I don't have to do anything. It's simply the effect of my beingness. What makes it seem difficult is when you think that there's this character named Hillary who has to go in there and like be like in a kung fu movie, you know, where they bat away the bullets and the swords and ha ha, there was a negative thought. Ha ha, stop that one. Who got that one with my foot? You don't have to do that. The thoughts don't have any power until you empower them. They're just thoughts. And it doesn't matter if they're negative or positive until you invest your energy in them. You invest your attention. You invest your consciousness.
And I guess that's what you're about to segue into in this next half of the show. But, you know, I mean, I am a thinker. I mean, I'm chewing on it. And I, you know, five planets in Aquarius, I don't want to get too esoteric on you, but I am thinking. And
so, you know what? I can save you a lot of trouble right here, Hillary. You are not a thinker. You just think you are. You are a being of light and joy and health and beauty who has learned over time to identify herself with this character named Hillary, who has learned over time to identify herself with this idea of her own thinking. And that's innocent. That's understandable. That's actually what we all have done.
Magic.
Doesn't make it true. It's just our particular version of lostness.
Yes.
That sigh you just did? I'd stick with that. Because what's going to happen otherwise is you're going to go back up into your head and you're going to think up some new reasons that this doesn't fit with the old reasons.
No, I'm hungry. I'm ready. I'm if not clamoring, and I know you're saying don't bother doing that. Just let your joy be.
So I'll tell you what, if you will send an email to my office, you can send it to, you can just go ahead and send it to michael@geniuscatalyst.com. It won't get to me directly, but it will get to me eventually. But say that you were on the radio and that I, said that I would send you out a DVD about all this. It's a DVD of a talk I gave in London a couple of years back that I think you'll really enjoy.
Oh, Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you, Hillary.
I'll do that. You're a godsend. I just adore you. Thank you again.
All right. Take care.
You too.
I hope as you listen, you guys can hear the innocence in this. Okay. We're all in this together. Right? I'm not sitting here going, ha, 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 I'm living in my joy. You're still in your thoughts. It's just, this is the game. And until we see it, we can't do anything about it. And the second we see it, it's already done. And that's the fun of it. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina. Let's go to Teresa. Teresa, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
It is a joy to talk with you, and I so value your professional opinion.
Okay.
I'm in a situation that is causing me emotional pain, and I don't know how to deal with it. I can't use my usual strategy, which is to run.
Okay.
I left my son's father when my son was 7, and my son is now 16, and he wants to see his father and the other children that the man has made along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot run from this situation to relieve my pain. I'm going to have to find a strategy to deal with it, and I need your help with that.
I think that's really, really good news indeed. Not that you're talking to me necessarily, but that you're not going to run. Because here's the problem with pain relief, is if we get too good at pain relief, whether we do it by running or we do it through drugs or we do it through TV or we do it through food, we never have to address the pain. And now, I don't mean you have to go be in pain for a while. That's not addressing the pain. That's just suffering. But when you're willing to let go of the relief and look deeper, you'll see that the source of pain is never the situation. It seems like it. I mean, I understand that. It looks like, well, hang on, I feel these bad feelings when that stuff over there happens. So the source of my pain must be that stuff over there. Mm-hmm. That's never true. And I mean never. The source of that emotional pain is always our own thinking. Now, that's actually really, really good news. Not because we can completely control our thinking, because as I've been talking about all show long, we can't. But because once we see that the problem isn't out there, it's in here. And once we see that we've just saved ourselves a world of difficulty. Because if I spend all my time trying to fix out there, have you noticed that doesn't work very well?
I've noticed, yes.
Yeah, and it tends to annoy the pig.
Oh.
Back to that. But no, it's true. We just, it would be one thing if changing the world out there was easy or if it would actually work, but it's difficult and it doesn't work. It may relieve the pain for a moment, but then the next trigger for our thinking comes along.
So what strategy can I use to try to separate the pain from the fact that this is my son and this is what my son wants? I cannot separate myself from him. But the pain, how can I find a way in the situation?
So there is something that you are thinking about this situation. I don't know what it is, and I don't need to know what it is, and even you don't need to know what it is. Mm. But there's something that you're thinking about this situation that causes you great pain.
Yeah.
And it may be to do with what you think it means, like him wanting to do this means he doesn't love me, or I wasn't a good enough mother, or him wanting to do this means that, you know, I'm going to lose him to the dad, and I'm never going to have him again. It's going to be something like that. Well, of course that hurts. That hurts me to even say it out loud. Doesn't mean it's true, but it's a great thing to think if I want to hurt. The second you see it as thought, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know if you're going to see it on this call. I hope you do, but it's okay if you don't, because it's there to be seen in any moment. The moment you see it, I call it thought spotting sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you spot the thought, or not even the individual thought, just spot the fact that it is thought that's creating the emotional pain. A space opens up. And in that space, your innate joy, your innate wisdom, your innate health comes right up and fills that space. And suddenly you just have an insight and you know what to do. And you know how to handle it. And the pain isn't there anymore. It's not that it gets better. It's not there anymore because it wasn't based on something real. It was based on a thought that appeared real, and it appeared so real you didn't even notice it was a thought. You don't need a strategy for dealing with something that isn't there. You simply need to see. And the second you see, it's done. But until you see, well, it hurts.
You are right. It does. It does. So,
so the question would be for me, Teresa, are you willing to look? Because I know for a fact, this is about as, I just realized this is like the single stupidest sounding thing that what I'm about to say. It's great. Pick the emotional time to say the stupidest cliche, but just bear with me. You can't see if you're looking in the wrong direction. If I'm want to see North Carolina and I'm looking south to Louisiana, it doesn't matter how hard I look, I'm not going to see it. And if I'm looking out there to fix my pain when it's in here, I'm not going to see it. But if I turn metaphorically and I look inside and I look at not even the details of what I'm thinking, but just that I am thinking and that I'm experiencing my thinking, I will start to see it. And in that space that opens up, it will get better and better and better. Are you willing to look?
I have to, for my son's sake. Yes, I am.
That's all you need.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa.
I thank you, Michael. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. It's so hard when things seem so real. When this outside world, this world of form, seems like it really has got some sort of direct connect to our emotions. It really is difficult. Life is hard. And we've all had that experience in one way or another. But when we get that there's three things going on simultaneously. There's the world of form. There's the stuff out there that we can see and hear and taste and touch and smell. And then there's the world of thought, which is our world of experience and our world of emotion, which is we think a certain thought, we feel a certain way. We think something terrible is going to happen and we feel afraid. We think something wonderful is going to happen and we feel excited. And then there's our essential nature. What today I'm talking about is joy. What at other times I talk about is well-being. Or I talk about is wisdom, or I talk about is health. And all our problems come from confusing those three realities. From thinking that the one outside is what's creating the feelings instead of that it's my own thoughts. Or the one outside is creating my joy instead of that being my nature. And as soon as we start to see, we only have to even start to see the separation. What's out there is out there. What I'm feeling is what I'm thinking. And these deeper feelings are who I am. The whole game gets a lot simpler. So I promised that I would, just before we finish, talk about, well, where does the joy go? Well, it's pretty simple. When you're a baby, you experience physical discomfort. And because you don't understand the source of that discomfort, you do the best you know how to do. You scream. And then if you're lucky, someone comes and makes it better. And they feed your hunger, or they dry your bottom, or they entertain your little newly formed brain by making funny noises and going, and, you know, swinging you up into the air. And before you know it, you've dropped right back into your own joy, your own well-being. And over time, it would be the most natural thing in the world to begin to connect and attribute that return to joy to the people or activities that seem to be causing it. Well, I'm okay because mommy loves me. I'm okay because daddy protects me. I'm okay because the people around me seem to have my joy, my well-being at heart. But then one day we do something that they didn't like. Me and daddy didn't want me to splash paint on the wall, or we cried and daddy was tired. And suddenly this ocean of joy that we're used to living in and swimming in is filled with sharks and monsters. And before long, we buy into the myth that's all around us, which is that love and well-being and joy are outside us. And then we have to start to develop this personality. Oh, I'm a positive person. I'm a good person. But joy, well-being, connection, love, peace, spirit, it's your nature. So all your attempts to capture those feelings from out in the world, no matter how well-intended, no matter how disciplined you are, it's doomed to fail. Not because joy is unattainable, but because you can't find what's never been lost. Joy is not the fruit of something you do. It is the essence of who you are. And there is nothing you need to change or do or be in order to feel joy. And that's the real secret of joy. So I want to thank you for being with me today. If you like the kinds of things we talk about, please check us out online at geniuscatalyst.com. There's lots of free stuff there. And until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.